Health and Wellness Hour. Yes, Art, that works much better that way. I'm Danny Coleman, your co-host of the Health and Wellness Hour, and this lady next to me is...
Marianne Costello.
Oh, I can't hear her either, Art. Art, you're failing in your engineering duties.
I'm failing. Now we got you there.
I think you do now. Yes.
There you go. Beautiful. We are brought to you by Neos Zoe of Cranford, Marianne's very vital business. Correct?
Yes. Thank you. Yes.
You want to tell us how vital that is?
It's very vital.
Thank you very much for that.
There
see, it's
go,
very,
see.
For those of you who will be watching this at home, it's very vital. I think I'm going to go back to the headphones up here like this.
Good, because I put mine behind my head, so I have a wire sticking out of my head.
You think so?
Yeah. Well.
Yeah, I see that. It's quite attractive.
Because I wanted to be a diva, and I didn't want the thing over the head. So
all right.
My own thing.
We are here on COA Radio, COARadio.com. COA stands for City of Angels. We are joined by Engineer Art.
Good morning.
Who's decided to leave us? We're on our own, Mayor.
That's okay.
Well, I think we've been here before. We are going to attempt to bring you anything, basically, that we can think of tonight.
Absolutely.
We have several topics and several non-topics. And what usually happens is we try to have a guest. We do this once a month here on City of Angels Radio, COARadio.com. And our first month was Richie Shalanda, our musical director.
Yes.
And then last month we had Kim Yarson. This month, things have been a little hectic for us both, so we really didn't book a guest. However, you and I and Art, we're going to talk about health and wellness and people, how that can benefit people in recovery with an addiction of some sort.
And the reason why it's partly my fault that I didn't search for a guest is because I've been doing research for this show, so, and observational things.
What's my excuse?
Well,
I don't research.
You don't really have an excuse.
Oh, whoa, I don't. You're right here. I'm going to put one of your books up here so the camera can see that. Marianne is also the best-selling author of The Road to Success, something that she co-authored with the chicken soup guy, Jack Canfield.
Yes.
And you also have a DVD, Extreme Chakra Cleansing for a Supercharged Life, which I have to tell you, I have been using every day for the last 2 weeks.
I'm flattered.
Mm.
How do you like it?
You know what's funny? I got to it very late last night, and today, yes, I'm going to tell you people, today, Art.
Yes, sir.
I took a nap before I came here today.
I take a nap every day.
Which I find very, very beneficial for health and wellness. I took a nap. No, I took a nap because I've been under the weather the last couple of weeks, so I'm still kind of, I'm in recovery from that.
Yes, you
that
are.
Cold. See, and so I'll
rest
probably
is very important.
I'll probably start hacking.
Absolutely.
At some point tonight during this show, hacking and coughing. But
that way,
yes, I will. That way, I won't even be near the mic. However, one of the things that I discovered with this, now there's multiple. Is it on the back mirror? No, it's not on the back. I got to open it up. Okay,
it is. It's okay.
There's multiple. Oh, it is. Okay,
there you go.
You have these chakras. There's the root chakra,
right?
The sacral chakra, the solar plexus chakra, the heart chakra, the throat chakra, the third eye chakra, and the crown chakra. Now, explain what chakras are, because I'm going to tell you what's been happening to me.
Okay, well, chakras are a source of energy. So it's all about the breath. And usually you talk about chakras, you'll hear it in Reiki. You may hear terminology and other healing modalities as well. But chakras, think of them that you have spinning wheels of energy through all the chakra points that you just mentioned. And what you do is sometimes those spinning wheels, instead of going clockwise, go counterclockwise. And how do you know that? If somebody's laying down on a table and say you're at their feet and you're watching their breath, really, when you take a deep breath, it should come from the abdomen, not chest breathing all the time. And your microphone just moved. Sorry.
I hate it when that happens.
That was really funny. Sorry, I didn't expect that. If you only saw it from my angle, just saying. So anyway, If you watch somebody breathing and you see them breathing from their chest and not their abdomen, it shows that their energy fields are blocked. So by opening them up, you could do it through meditation, you could do it through Reiki, even self-healing, you know, and that would be opening up several channel locks on your body. All of a sudden, they'll be working on themselves and be like, take that deep breath. But they don't know why. And that is because everything's starting to recharge. And when you learn how to feel energy through your hands, you'll be able to feel almost like a magnetic pull, even if you're doing self-healing on yourself and unblocking your chakras. So a lot of people would come to me and say, I don't know how to meditate. I don't have 5 minutes. I can't do it. So we, and when I say we, I'm talking Rich Shalanda. He did wonderful musical compositions, and he probably could tell you much more than I can. But we studied them, did ancient musical modes, each chakra. You want his card.
No, I want his CD. Go ahead. I didn't mean to try not to interrupt you.
But that's okay. So Richie did such a wonderful job on composing and helped orchestrate, because I don't really have timing. And I would write the scripts and he'd be like, you know, just go ahead and go, you know, start talking. And we worked very well together. But some of them, you know, you have meditation DVDs and CDs that are out there that's fluted music behind somebody talking.
Oh, yes.
And I wanted to be different. I wanted to do something different. So Rich did these wonderful musical compositions, like I said, some of them even almost dance tracks. But you'll never hear me tell you to close your eyes. Never. And that's because on the DVD, Jay Petsko, he's a wonderful graphics designer, and he's does a lot of things. But he did these wonderful kaleidoscopes that you sit there and focus, you know, on the screen, and next thing you know, they're a little trippy, you know, they make you go to meditate. But some people land up saying, my eyes start to close after they watch it a while, and then they don't be, lo and behold, they're meditating and don't even know it.
I've actually fallen asleep twice.
That's good.
It is. No, I was very relaxed. But the reason why I said all this is because the third eye chakra now, even if I'm not watching the DVD, mm-hmm. if I go to like lay down in bed at night, you know, before I go to sleep, that whole thing just opens up.
Oh, I'm so excited to hear that. I really, truly am.
No, it's very unique. And it started happening. Now, as far as the rest of the DVD goes, some of those chakras, I have not been able to accomplish what you're saying mm-hmm. in there. I'm sure that's... Excuse me, more of something I'm doing as opposed to what you're telling me to do. Mm-hmm. I find that if you do this DVD, for me personally, and for everybody it's different, if you do this DVD while laying flat, either on the floor or on a mat or in bed, I prefer in bed.
softer fall.
Correct. yeah, wider surface for me to, yeah. And with your palms up. Because you say put your palms, raise your palms to the ceiling.
Yes.
And, or raise your palms flat, you know, mm-hmm. so whatever. So I put them over my head.
You can put them in your lap.
I've done that too.
Okay.
I've been everywhere.
Okay.
Ooh. With my palms. And you turn around and the first couple I haven't been able to accomplish. But after that, you know, it's a little, until I get to that third eye and crown chakra, and it's like, holy moly.
And what's nice is with the musical compositions, you're taken on a journey where some of it starts out pretty, I want to say, you know, hard and rough, you know, it's like a dance track. Here we go. You know, let's get started, to where you're saying it does end on a trippy note.
I'm a little shy about that whole heart chakra thing where you'd say, get up and dance and move. And I'm like, whoa.
Because that requires exercise.
Yeah, that's effort.
I know, but that's what it's about.
To make your heart pump, you need to move.
So, hey, if you want to give us a call, please do so, 609-241-7103. Right, Art?
That is correct.
Where were you? We just went Facebook Live, and neither of us could remember the phone number.
Look, I did post it all over the walls.
Yeah, I know.
You did, but you had another show going. What was that show? That's a new show that we have here on COA Radio.
Art.
Yeah, that is a job. Sorry. See, this is what's bad about having your phones in front of you. You know, we had before you a journey through the steps with Beth. Beth is slowly working her way through the big book. And the third Wednesday of the month, which we're going to change from the last Wednesday, she has her live show, and we have people that call in and ask questions, and, you know, we're going to get some guests for the next show and stuff. So we have that. We have Living Sober. We have your show, Danny, on Tuesday nights.
Oh, yeah. What time is that on?
That is on 7 o'clock on Tuesdays.
7 p.m. on Tuesday nights?
7 p.m. every
Rock
Tuesday
on Radio.
Night. Rock on Radio.
It's a great
Danny
show.
Coleman. Yep.
I have some big things coming up with Rock on Radio, actually, that I've discovered recently. I've had a good month.
You've had a great month.
I've had a good month, actually. So you'll be hearing that show here on COA Radio. But again, if you want to call and ask us questions or comment or anything that... Now, Mary Ann has, you know, all these like letters and numbers and stuff after her last name. And, you know, she's a PhD, ABC, DEF...
You know the alphabet.
QRS. I don't know.
Apparently not in order.
Obviously.
Hey. I give you so much.
I'm not saying I'm any better.
See? I know how to spell rock and roll. But now, if you want to give us a call, please do so. I'm Danny Coleman. Marianne Costello is here. We are co-hosts of the Health and Wellness Hour. Engineer Art is helping us out, as always. We'll be here for the next hour. Well, probably about 40 minutes now, 45 minutes. But
And the number is 609-241-7103. And if you call in, you just may win something.
Something.
Something. So if you'd like to share a story with us, please call in.
Yeah. If you have any questions about health, wellness, or if you have been or have a family member who has been through addiction and recovery or anything of that nature, please, you know, don't be afraid to share. Give us a call. Marianne will give you something. Half-eaten sandwich from lunch. Or, I don't know. Whatever we have left in the health and wellness vault.
Absolutely. And you know what? I'm going to change the topic here.
Go ahead.
Okay.
We have many to discuss.
Well, I've been dealing with a couple of clients that have been, unfortunately, ill. And I've had my fill of hospitals, going from one to another and seeing how things work. And because we're talking about addiction and recovery, I saw something extremely disturbing. And that was... I know you're looking at me with that look, but it's a really serious topic
trying
here.
To think if I was naked anywhere, Art.
You weren't really in any disturbing. Of those beds, so I think we're okay. But one thing that I saw is I understand, you know, modern medicine and you need, you know, certain medications at certain times or surgery and stuff like that. But the one thing that was a really strong observation, because I haven't been in hospitals in a while, thank God, you know, and neither are my clients. But when I was there, because maybe it was the surgical floor, things like that, I don't know if it's done everywhere in the hospital, but pain management was a very big issue for me, because what I saw was a lot of opiates are used in pain management, and I believe that people do need some of them at times, absolutely, you know. But what I saw was it handed out so freely, even if you didn't want it, was saying, well, we should manage your pain. Instead of you as the patient saying, I'm not so sure I want that because of whatever personal reason you had. Well, you should, because it'll knock down the pain level. But it's always given the same pain med to every person. And they would start at the highest one. Xylodon was one of the first ones I saw readily used. Then it went from there, it went to morphine and stuff like that. And I'm talking big doses. I mean, really high doses that my concern was as a practitioner, what does that do for somebody? Like if somebody out there wanted to call in if they had this experience, and I think you've had one. I'm not saying that you were addicted, but I'm talking about people who never had an addiction to anything. Say they had something happen to them drastic. They land up in a hospital. They had surgery or whatever. But exactly what happened? Did you ever get addicted to pain meds, even if you never had an addiction before in your life, because they're used so readily? And I understand why they are. I'm not against that. I'm just saying, in my opinion, how do you wean somebody off of them? Do people look at how often they're being given, the duration of it? And then when they leave the hospital, do they send them home with, you know, some of the same pain meds? And if they do, I can see how an addiction can happen. And I'm sure, Art, you're in this field.
This is the majority of really how we deal with a lot of these kids. They hurt their knee in a soccer game. They go have surgery. They become addicted to their painkillers because they're there for a really, you know, a fairly long period of time that they're on them. So what do? They go home, they raid mom and dad's medicine cabinet. They raid grandmom's medicine cabinet. We've all gone to the dentist. We've all gotten 35 Percocets, you know what I mean, for our tooth pain. And they go to that route. Now, once everyone catches on to that and locks their medicine cabinet, now you have them turning to the street, you know, and they're going to be buying their Xanax at $10 a pill. It's very expensive. And what happens is they turn to heroin because it's so cheap, you know, and they can get the same effect from it. And it's not that they woke up and said they wanted to be an addict. It was that from the prescription medications, they became addicted, and they start to become sick when they don't have them in their systems. And they really, you know, try to prevent the sickness by going to the street for drugs. And, you know, that's what really the heart of this whole epidemic is really mostly that. You know, it's not a choice. You know, we went to the doctor for some reason, and, you know, there we are.
And it happens. And I could see it could happen, but the other thing that I look at it as a practitioner, and you're talking about healthy lifestyles, let alone the addiction.
Right.
Take something like Percocet, morphine, any opiate, actually plays havoc on your digestive system.
Oh, yeah.
So it creates a lot of problems like, you know, constipation, gut issues, intestinal flora issues. And then it creates another whole host of problems that people are just looking at the addiction side. But I'm looking at how does that affect your health after you've been on these medications or even while you're on them?
Right.
And what other damage? Because sometimes there's a domino effect, you know?
And there isn't. And you're right, it does cause constipation. It causes a lot of intestinal, you know, down here. I have my brother-in-law who is actually in intensive care right now. Was on Suboxone for over 10 years. That's an opioid-based product.
Right.
You know, he just had
local hospital, Art?
Yeah, Capital Health.
Okay.
And he just had all of his intestines removed, and he's going to have a colostomy bag for the rest of his life. And he's a young man. I mean, he's in his early 50s. You know, to have to live like that for the rest of your life is no joke. And I think that's what young kids need to. You know, they're looking for the thrill of the party now.
Right.
You really need to look at what is the long-term effects going to have on your health, and how are you going to be, you know, when you're 40 and 50 and 60, you know,
right.
And what effect is that going to have on you? You know, the other thing, and you really brought this up, Governor Chris Christie's limited painkillers to 5 days now.
Right.
I mean, that's a controversial move. He's not a doctor, you know. Kevin and I actually did a show on 101.5, and they asked for our opinion on, you know, what do you think about, you know, that being limited to 5 days? We had a lot of callers that called into those shows, you know, saying, hey, I have been on long-term pain meds for 20 years over because I had a back injury or whatever it is. So how is that going to affect, you know, these people if this law kicks in 90 days and they can't get their opiates anymore for pain?
Well, that too. And I think, though, if the pain medicine has to be used, and in a lot of cases it really does to help people with pain management, but then how do you wean it off, not only for psychologically, but physical on the body, you know, physically on the body? It's
almost like we have to offer them recovery.
That's what I'm saying.
You know,
maybe that should be part of a pain management program.
Or unfortunately, they'll turn to something else.
Right.
You know.
And you've had that experience. You've shared that on several shows of what happened with your back.
Oh, my back.
Not that you got addicted, but you were saying that people were willing to even buy.
Yeah, I actually had somebody contact me and say, hey, you know, did they give you, what kind of pain meds did they give you for your back? Well, you know, they gave me Valium. You know, how'd you use them? Well, I used one. I didn't like how it made me feel, so I stopped using them. Oh, so you got like a whole container left. Yeah.
I had open heart surgery, and I never... I took the pain meds for one day because I was scared to death, you know, that I was going to get hooked or, you know, go back or whatever.
I wasn't scared of that. I just didn't like how it made me feel.
That was never my thing either.
You know, and for this person to contact me, And, you know, and it's funny, they friended me on they friended me on Facebook.
Right.
And when they friended me on Facebook, I thought it was odd, but they had found out that I had back surgery, and that's the whole reason they friended me, so they could see if I, and they were willing to give me $10 a pill. That's I could have made a quick $250.
Which is your street value. And, you know, and what happens when you can't find them anymore? You go raiding, you know, your medicine cabinets. Why, you know, in the middle of this epidemic, which is why it's so important that if you need to clean out your medicine cabinet, there's a lot of medicine drop-off points almost at every police station I know here in New Jersey, where you can drop off those unused prescriptions, you know, into a lockbox, and they'll get rid of them properly so they don't fall into the wrong hands.
To the wrong hands. If you're just tuning in, this is the Health and Wellness Hour. I'm Danny Coleman. My co-host this evening is Marianne Costello. My co-host every evening is Marianne Costello. Engineer Art, we're coming to you live from coaradio.com. And if you'd like to give us a call, please do so, 609-241-7103. Give us a call, and we will gladly answer any questions or concerns or comments, or if you want to relay a story live on the air. And listen to yourself at another time, because this show is being recorded, right?
It is being recorded, and if you've missed any of the shows, they're all up on COA Radio. You can find A New Balance Living with Marianne and our show page, and all the shows are up there.
Thank you. And our musical director went missing again tonight.
He's out of control.
Well, you know he's starting a second album, right?
No, he has not contacted me. I am not privy to that information. I'm out of his inner circle.
I just know that he
started
it.
I'm out of your inner circle.
But I don't know where he is. And I hope that if he comes back with a major suntan and looks extremely relaxed, I'm going to be very jealous.
No, knowing, so you know. Knowing him, I think he's on a mountain in Tibet.
Well, wherever he is.
He's in search of the Dalai Lama.
Well, wherever he is. This is his first album, A Flying Dreams. Working on the second album. And wherever you are, if you're watching this, like I said, we hope we don't see your picture in a post office somewhere.
Or on a milk carton.
That's true. I wouldn't want to see him on a milk carton either. We just hope that you're having success with your album, and we will see you on the next show, I hope. We'll see, right?
Oh, I hope so. I hope we can get him to come on back in here.
You better not be touring without us.
Yeah, yeah. Without me, anyway. I'm not worried about you guys.
I hope you were listening to that. That sounded like, you know, a hidden message in there somewhere.
No. Subliminal. Let's all go to the snack bar. Let's
all go. One clip. No.
Yeah. See, now, you know, when we sit here and we discuss this, and yes, I do rock on radio, and yes, Marianne has, you know, her DVDs and her Quilly Award and your...
XB you Award.
XB Award. I was going to say ESPY, but that's... ESPN.
We're sitting amongst greatness here.
Oh, that's
correct. And she, you know, Marianne has, you've been through a lot. You're also a musician, a vocalist. Mm-hmm. And you've been through and seen, as long with, you know, when we're talking about it with Rich on our first show, you know, and one of the things I discussed with him on Rock on Radio is addiction.
Right.
From various, you know, sources, being a musician, you know, it's and one of the things that Ron Beanstalk said when he was on One More with Danny Coleman struck me as funny. He said, there's always that one person who isn't a musician, but likes to think it's cool to hang around with the band and enables everybody.
Right.
In the band. Hey, what do you need? Need another beer? I'll go get it. Hey, you want me to go out and see if I can get some, you know, some drugs? I'll go get it. Hey.
I had one of those.
Exactly. And you know, it's easy. Let me tell you, when I was out of work, when my back betrayed me, and I was out of work for 3 years, once I was able to get up and moving around again, I never got addicted to pain pills or anything of that nature. But I did, once I was able to get up and out and about and started to reinvent myself by creating Rock on Radio and diving headfirst back into playing music and so on and so forth, I saw how it was very, very easy to fall in to an addictive lifestyle.
Very much so.
I mean, I'd leave the house at 8, 9 o'clock at night, drive to Asbury Park. Why not? I got nowhere to be tomorrow morning. Exactly. I don't have to wake up until noon if I don't want to. So, you know, you'd go there and you find yourself, hey, let me have, hey, buy you a beer. Can I buy you a beer? Give me a, yeah, sure. Yeah, how about a shot? Hey, thanks. You know, next, I could have walked out of there hammered every night if I wanted to.
Oh, I did.
Yeah. Well, when you're driving from the Jersey Shore to home, you don't want to do that. No. But the point is that I could have. And I thought to myself one night on a particular night where I was, they were going down real easy. The booze was going down easy. And after my third or fourth drink, I thought to myself, God, I can see how people fall into this lifestyle. And it was at that point I just stopped. I hung out for another couple hours, drank club soda. And, you know, I was fine. I was able to drive home. But I thought to myself, I can see how it happens.
Right. And then you build up a tolerance. And then it takes even more drinks to get you that
That is
buzz
so very much true. I mean, we did the same thing. When I was on the road, you know, we watched General Hospital at 3 o'clock. 4 o'clock, we left for
the
gate.
Who were you on the road with? Rick Springfield? No, I know.
We played in bars. So, you know, that's what the girls talked about at the time. So that gave us conversation. But we... Hey, I'm just being honest. But I would find myself behind the bar. They would let us in and walk away. And I'd be like, what do you want to drink at 4 o'clock in the afternoon? And then by the time we started playing at 8 or 9 o'clock at night, the bartenders were in. The place was packed. They were making these special drinks. Hey, try this. You want to try that? I mean, they never took our money. It was very easy to fall into that lifestyle. And I just woke up one day about that same time, 3 or 4 in the afternoon, going, I can't do this anymore. You know, I just can't do this anymore. I drove home many nights with one eye open from the Jersey Shore because we played down there to get back to Hamilton. Right. And just crazy times. I mean, I can knock on wood that I was lucky enough not to kill myself or somebody else, you know, in the midst of doing that. But
I could just, and that's my point, I could see how easily you can sink into that.
Absolutely.
So do you have people come to you and say, I need help?
I have it happen a lot. Okay. I do have it happen a lot.
What do you do to them?
Well, if we talk about it.
To them or for them?
Well, we do talk about it. Obviously, if they do need counseling, I will refer them to a counselor. But I do listen. I've had much experience in different addictions of helping people. But most of all, a lot of people just need to be heard, but they have to say they need the help. And that's where people get embarrassed, where they don't want to say, I have a problem. And my job is when I am doing nutritional evaluations and I'm finding deficiencies in the body, I kind of have to put together what could be going on. You could look at symptomology all day long, but what I do is I try to find the source of what your problems are. Like, where is this coming from? I know you're taking, a lot of times people are on medication. You know, you're taking this medication for this. I understand it, but where did the breakdown start? And that's what I like about what I do. Because it's kind of like being a detective, an investigator, you know? And then finally, if you can't find out where the breakdown is, I start asking questions. And then sometimes, you know, it takes a couple of visits because people need to develop trust with you and feel comfortable with you. And a lot of them will start, you know, speaking up and saying, you know, I do this or this, or what would you suggest? And sometimes, you know, I could make recommendations for them. And for some people, they work. And if other people don't, I do refer them. You know, if it's out of my scope, I will definitely do that. But it's kind of sad because a lot of it revolves around stress and pain.
Yeah. Isn't it funny how people view stress? I mean, for stress, you know, for everybody, it's different. You know, I used to know somebody who would, you know, stress out if, you know, his coffee wasn't, like if he went to like the local convenience store and they were out of his favorite coffee brand or creamer, he thought that was stress. Really?
I wish I had that kind of stress.
Right?
I know.
And it's funny how, and I always used to use this, when I worked in downtown Trenton, when I worked as a UPS guy, I would there was, you know, I delivered a lot of state buildings and Mercer County offices. And it was so funny because I'd be there and I'd hear these people. They did nothing but complain. Oh, my God. It was, if it wasn't about the job, it was about the place. If it wasn't about the place, it was about their coworkers. If it wasn't about their coworkers, it was about not, you know, I can remember a state worker hearing them one day. Now, the state gets, if you're a state of New Jersey employee, you get a day off in every month, excuse me, except for March. And maybe even March, if Good Friday falls in March, mm-hmm. you know, and August. Oh. Other than that, there's a day every month, June, right? So June, March, June, and August, those 3 months.
Right.
You don't get a day off. Right? January, you get New Year's Day, Martin Luther King Day.
That's true. That was
February, you get President's Day, and they used to get Lincoln's birthday. You know, I guess he's not a president if you're born after a certain date.
They just kind of clumped them all together.
Right.
Right.
In March, if Good Friday fell in March, then you got Good Friday, and you didn't get anything in April. You know, or maybe you did. I mean, I don't know. You know, then you had, you know, May, they would get Memorial Day. June, they would have to work a full month. July, you got the 4th of July. August, a full month. September, you had Labor Day. October, Columbus Day.
Right.
You know.
Right.
November, Veterans Day, Election Day, and Thanksgiving Day. I actually would hear people say, the governor better give us off the day after Thanksgiving. Take a personal day if you're not unsure.
Yeah, I thought that was a choice day off for them.
No, it's not. It's not even in the contract. Well, it might be in the contract now. I haven't had to deal with them for 8 or 9 years. But the point was that they felt they were owed that day. It's a regular work day. I got to go to work that day.
I worked retail. I never had Black Friday.
I worked retail, too.
Exactly. Yes. So, you know, people, you know, they do these things and they expect certain things. Now, right. When I, you know, worked for UPS, this one guy, I'll never forget this. He looked at me and he said, I need to get paid more. He goes, I wish I made your money. And I looked at him. I said, you already make more than me. He goes, I do not. I know what you UPS guys make. I said, oh, yeah? I said, if you want me to break it down for you? And he looked at me. He goes, go ahead. I said, what are your hours, 8 to 4:30? He says, yeah. I said, you get 2 15-minute breaks? He says, yeah. I said, so you're getting paid 8 hours because you get a half hour unpaid mm-hmm. for lunch. You're getting 8 hours. But you're only working 7 and a half. And he looked at me, he goes, well, what's your point? I said, well, you're getting paid for 8. There's 2 15-minute breaks. I said, do you smoke? He said, yeah. I said, how many times do you go outside and for how long? He goes, oh, maybe 4 or 5 times a day for 10 minutes each time. I said, there's 50 minutes. That's almost an hour that you're getting paid but not working. I said, now you're down to almost 6. I said, take personal phone calls? How long do you spend on personal phone calls? He goes, honestly? I said, he goes, probably about 10, 15 minutes a day. I said, okay. You're getting paid for 8 hours, but you're only working like, you know, 5 hours and 50 minutes. And I said, you know, and I proved to him. I said, now take your hourly rate wage. I said, you know, so it's all perspective and mm-hmm. stress. And that this guy thought his job was hard.
Well, I think the big thing now that you see in a lot of jobs, unfortunately, and with the younger generation, the millennials, and I'm not picking on them, but I'm saying,
oh, I will if you want.
It's about entitlement, where, you know, it used to be, let's prove yourself that you could do the work, and then the employer might reward you, you know, here you go, because you've proven that you can do it. And now it's, no, you pay me first, and then I'll do it. And it's just one of those things, I guess it's the work ethic has changed. And now it's almost being demanded before they even prove themselves.
Well, do you know why that is?
Now there's no work ethic.
Well, exactly. Well, but do you know why that is? I remember I was a young kid. I went out of high school. I didn't get to go to the college I wanted to go to. So I went to work. I worked for Dow Jones and Company for 8 years, Wall Street Journal, right? Prestigious company. I worked there from 1981. I started the day I would have went back to school.
Okay.
In September of 1981. And I worked there until August of 1989. when I became a UPS driver. Somewhere around 1984, they brought a woman down from New York City from the HR department to head the engineering division. And everybody knew why she was there. They were going to lay off for the first time in 100 and some years of 105 mm-hmm. years the company had been around at that point. They were going to lay people off. So, sure enough, people got laid off. So she gathered all of us survivors and did departmental meetings. And the woman looked at me and she said, "How long have you been here?" I said, "Well, I've been here since 1981, about 7 years now, 6-7 years. And she said, yeah, it was probably towards the late 80s that this happened. And she looked at me and she said, "Do you have a college education?" I said, "No." I said, "Unfortunately, I could not go where I wanted, so I went to work." She says, and she looked me dead in the face in front of this entire department and said, "Without a college education, your chances for advancement in this company and success in this life are slim to none." Real good motivator she was, huh? Now, don't insult me. So I took that as an insult. And I stood up and I said, "Just curious, is that your BMW out there?" She says, "Yeah." I said, "You're paying your mechanic about $30 an hour to fix that?" I said, "He's making double what I make. He don't have a college education." "Well, he learned a trade." "Okay. Well, you said a college education." I said, "How do you know I don't have a trade in my back pocket?" I said, "You have a nice day." I got up and I walked out of the meeting. I'm lucky I had a job. I could have gotten fired.
Right. But you know what? I admire you for standing up, because the thing that causes people stress that I hear all the time is, and mostly in corporate environments, I can't speak for all of them, I'm just talking particularly this, is, you know, supervisors and all rule by fear. And I don't like it. It's like, just what you said, somebody from HR will come down. Just be fair with the workers. Tell them, listen, there is going to be layoffs. We don't know who it's going to be at this moment. Don't do this where you... It's almost like a power play. Like, yep. It makes you feel better because you're in power. And I have to tell you, I had worked for a company where I know that they weren't fond of me because I worked more for the employee than I did for the corporate. Because, you know, I'm working with the people on that front line, so to speak, and I see what they go through in a day. There could be, you know, they might have had a problem with their child that morning, or they have some circumstance they really can't help. I mean, there were some abusers, but, you know, most of the time, there were legitimate problems that you can hear. And if you're the supervisor, you're kind of saying, well, I can understand that happening. You know, if I was in their shoes, I'd want some understanding and all. And if it was a constant offender, I can understand a company getting upset sure. like that. But it's one of those things, like, if you did one thing, you have a demerit. You know what I'm saying? It's like, don't do that again. Right. And then all of a sudden, it's just like, that's where I think the disconnect is in corporate America, where you have people at the top, you know, want to show power, or maybe they don't have power in their homes for all I know, so this is the way they get it.
I was told one time, fear is a great motivator. And yes, I've actually worked for three guys like that who, when you saw them with their spouse, you knew who wore the pants in that family. So when they would come to work, they had to show that they had to.
But those are the least effective managers.
Absolutely. And I feel that, you know, if you get close to people, I understand there's a line between personal and business. I get that. Okay. But there also has to come a point where there are circumstances sometimes people can't help. Like I said, if you're not a constant offender, you know, that's one thing. But you also have to look at fairness for, you know, whatever department you're in. And you have to be fair. And I had people like where they had seniority and they would take the same type of holidays off and all. And then it got to a point where saying, you know what, you just can't keep asking for the same thing. You got to give other people a chance, or if they're going to go travel to see family, say for Thanksgiving, you know. And kind of if the company was open or if it was closed, you're trying to figure out what's fair. But at the same time, it's like, I think if people think that you're on their side and you're there to help them, or if they make a mistake, okay, let's fix it so it doesn't happen for the next time. You're going to get a better worker, a better employer, not the person who I've heard will go home so stressed out they're going to have that glass of wine, or they're going to go home and do whatever it is that they do to relieve their stress, whether it's, you know, to your point, heroin, whatever it is. I'm not saying that everybody does that, but you know, it's to a point where they're going to do something to cope, a coping right. mechanism. And I think we can be better even as human beings, you know, and showing the human side by saying, I understand corporations are about money and you have to make money to have a corporation work. But I feel like nowadays the human side is not there. You know, and saying, or good employees like yourself, not necessarily do you need a college degree in everything, because sometimes on the job training, I call it baptism by fire, that's you it. Know, you learn more that way. That when I would interview people for a job, I see what's on a resume, but I like talking to them to find out what their interests are outside of work, you know, seeing that well-rounding, because just because you have a college education, I've had people tell me, oh, yeah, thank God I got this job, because in the interview, you know, my grade point average was really low. I got by college by playing tennis. And it's like you sit there and you're like, well, I did it the old school way, you know, through hard knocks and worked your way up the ranks and try to do a good job and always put your best foot forward, you know. Have we all made mistakes in a job? Of course, we all do. We're human. But I think like when I was trying, you know, I was a manager to say, okay, you made this mistake. I might have heard about it from up above, you know, like take care of it, but it wasn't like a browbeating, so to speak, you know, unless it was a constant thing over and over to say, okay, we got to do something. But to help people grow as a person, the more comfortable they are in their job, the better they're going to do. If they don't feel like they're in fear mode, and fear, and I have that in my book, you know, in the book talking about fear, it is, it's all in the book. I just realized it's there, but you have to have, fear is like false evidence appearing real. Like you have to sit in your cubicle. People are like sitting in that little square cubicle all day, working away. And they come to me because now there's a massage in there somewhere. You know what I'm saying? Because they're so stressed out. But when they're on the table, people talk. And what I hear is everything that I observe.
Yeah, you're kind of like a bartender.
Yeah, in a way. I just don't give out like, drinks.
You know, yeah, well.
But
yeah,
see, all we can that's fix that. True. I was a frontline manager for 40 years, and people don't want to be ruled over. They want respect. They wanted to be treated like they're a human being.
It's got to be earned, though.
You know, the last company I worked for, you know, which is Sleepy's, they're not in business anymore, so I can talk about them. They were strict about people being there on time. You know, like if you were 1 minute late, and I just didn't get that. You know what I mean? Why would you be over somebody who's otherwise they're a perfect employee, you know, and it would be because they had their child, their wife worked the shift before them, and they were waiting for them to get home. But I didn't see where holding somebody's feet to the fire for 1 minute, you know, that there was nothing really to do that. And I would let it go. And those guys would appreciate that and work that much harder for you because you show them a little understanding and you show them respect. And it makes a lot less of a stressful work.
I was going to say, and it reduces stress. Again, we got about 15, 20 minutes or so left of the program. If you want to call us, 609-241-7103. Please give us a call. Were you going to sweeten the pot? Were you going to give them something away if they called in?
Yeah, I am.
Okay. Do we know what it is?
Yeah.
And why is my microphone moving? This is starting to get weird over here.
I don't know. It's the spirits in the room.
Ooh.
I don't know.
That's quite possible.
But
this building goes back to the 1800s.
Great.
I know it does.
Well, if you start having feelings around you, I might have to move towards Art.
You asked me to sit on this side, the two of you.
It was, because now I could flick you.
Yeah, you can just like poke me and stuff. Great.
It's a good thing.
So while we have a few minutes left, you know, with the new laws for painkillers and things like that, what are there some alternatives that someone would have, you know what I mean, to a painkiller?
Well, I'm going to say this. I'm at Neo Zoe. It's a wellness center. And Dr. David Seeley, he's the chiropractor, and he has Tenual Chiropractic and Wellness Center in there as well. And he had this paper on his death today that I thought I'd take. Sorry.
Keyword had.
Right.
Marianne Pilfer.
He still has it. I just borrowed it. But it was a really important line, and it said, opiate crisis in America. an extensive medical study says consider manipulation. And this was particularly about lower back pain because I hear about it constantly from everybody who walks through the door. And one thing that it says here, it says the American College of Physicians has just issued a new guideline for physicians to follow recommending non-drug treatments, including spinal manipulation, as the first step in treating patients with low back pain. And they say chiropractors are the largest physician group that render safe, effective spinal manipulation, but also listed is massage, acupuncture, tai chi, and yoga. And it says physicians should avoid prescribing unnecessary tests and costly and potentially harmful drugs, especially the narcotics, for these patients. And I thought, you know what? Some things have to be treated. There's no doubt about it. But I have clients that come to me that were told that they need surgery and things like that, and themselves don't want the surgery. So what they do is they combine medical massage, acupuncture, maybe some homeopathy in there, some nutritional supplementation. And some people do really well. It's not the magic pill that it's going to happen overnight that everybody wants. But if you stay consistent on a program, change things as your body changes, it's a really remarkable way of healing. And I personally would go that route before, you know, surgical routes, especially if a surgeon says, let's hold off, let's see what happens. You better believe I would be exhausting every means possible. You know, as far as pain management, educate yourself. There are supplements out there. There's homeopathy. There's even aromatherapy. Aromatherapy is not just that feel good, smell things. There's clinical aromatherapists. I am one of them. And some of them can help with pain management and help give relief topically, you know, while you have a supplement that might work internally. And you have to try different things because something might work for one of your friends, but it might not work for you because all of our bodies are different. But you have to educate yourself. If you want the education, you know where to find me at Neo Zoe. You
could always Cranford on Centennial Avenue.
Yeah, that number is 732.
I really think you're going to find where that. I'm sorry.
No, it's 732-713-0123 because I get people that call and ask questions like this. What do I do for this? What do I do for that? And I'll gladly give, you know, some advice and try to educate you on different things of whatever your problem is because I want to see people get well. Like that just enlightens me. That's what I live for.
So there are alternatives out there to kind of not stay on the pain medication for so long.
Absolutely, because the pain meds, as wonderful as they might make you feel in the moment, you have to look in the future what it's doing to your body.
That's right.
They didn't make me feel wonderful at all. Only the only one time I ever felt good on pain meds were I really didn't care. Was when I had wisdom teeth out, and I had them out later in life. I was like 19 when I had the first two out.
Yeah, mine too.
And then in my early 20s when I had the other two out.
Yeah, I was so high they could have pulled all my teeth. I wouldn't have cared.
And the dentist gave me Percodans.
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
And I was like, wow, you know. And the other time was when I had surgery, and I was when I came out of surgery, I was in pain, but they shot straight Demerol in my hip.
Oh wow!
And oh, don't say it like that. It was a lovely feeling.
Oh, oh well.
You know, yeah. It was kind of like that line from the Pink Floyd song. It's just a little pinprick. You know, and I'm like, whoa, and it, you know, went right into your system that way.
Right.
Whoa, you know. Now they put it in the IV bag and it drips down slowly. But I could see how it can happen. Now, when I had my back surgery, my doctor. Sir, he's a surgeon that doesn't like to do surgery. You know, it was the last resort. So I went for the shots in the back. And he tried, you know, 12 weeks of physical therapy. He tried, you know, everything and anything. And because of when my one disc, it didn't rupture. It just kind of leaked.
Right.
But it caused enough nerve damage where I've got hamstring issues in my left leg. So after 12 weeks, you know, the therapist is like, we're not going to get anything more out of this. You know, we've gotten very little movement. So now the one leg is still fine, you know, but the other, I'll never be the same in my left leg. But I didn't reach for pain pills. You know what I mean? because it really it doesn't hurt. Now, I will not kid you. I play golf poorly. But what I do, if I don't take an Aleve prior to playing, by the fifth or sixth, when my back is so knotted, mm-hmm. if I don't take an Aleve, it's very difficult for me to loosen up. And by the seventh or eighth hole, it hurts. But by taking that naproxen, you know, it doesn't bother me. But that's the only time I take that drug.
We could educate you.
On what?
On pain relief. So if you didn't want to take the Advil, there's other ways of trying to help. And also, before you play, do you stretch before you play golf?
Yes.
Oh, you do?
As much as I can, yes.
Okay.
Yes. I mean, you know, I'm not home looking like, you know, Tim Conway or anything, you know, from the old caliber. That's just, no, but, you know, when I get out to the course, I stretch, and not that it matters, because my back is very difficult in the morning.
Oh,
I fight with it every day.
I understand that. I could understand.
And it wins for the first hour, so. But again, I don't turn to any kind of pain pills.
Which is a good thing, you know. At the end of the day, it's a good thing.
I think how much of it, Art, is mind over matter. Because I actually had a fellow who's been clean and sober for over 20 years now tell me one time, if you got the ism, you've got the ism. If you've got alcoholism in your family, or you've got, you know, there's a good chance you're going to wind up with it.
It's a lifelong battle.
It's my inability to say no.
There's 80 million Americans that have an addiction problem. Actually, I think it's 85 million Americans. So we have addictive personalities in one form or another.
Mine's chocolate.
Chocolate, the internet, sex, drugs, alcohol. There's a lot of addictions out there, you know.
Man, I'm in trouble.
TMI.
Boy, you hit all my favorite things there, Art.
But because as Americans that we have such addictive personalities, if you have alcohol addiction or drug addiction, it's a lifelong battle. You know what I mean? To stay sober, because, you know, even after, you know, we had people on the show 19 years sober and they still fight those tendencies, you know, to still want to go. So it is a lifelong battle. Absolutely. And how do you tell a 21-year-old or a 22-year-old that they have a lifelong battle? You know what I mean? With addiction, you can't go to the bar. You need to stay away from situations.
My father, on my 16th birthday, quit smoking cold turkey.
I think that's the only way to quit.
Right.
I tried for a long, long time, and that's exactly how I quit.
My parents are young. My parents are both only in their 70s right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm in my 50s. So, yeah, on my 16th birthday, he quit smoking cold turkey. And he told me as recently as a year or so ago that sometimes, you know, because now they retired, they live in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina.
Ah.
And, you know, down in South Carolina, yes. So down in South Carolina, you know, they can, for God's sake, they can smoke in a daycare center, I think. I mean, you know, tobacco's the product down there. And, right. And there, you know, there's very few smoking restrictions. And my dad said sometimes, you know, after golf, they would all go to like the local Moose Lodge, to the Moose Lodge. And, you know, he said that he'd go in there and they'd be smoking. He said, you know, he goes, you figure he quit 30, let's see, I'm trying to do the math. You know, he quit like almost 40 years ago. But yet he'll still every now and then get an urge to have a cigarette. He never does,
mm-hmm.
but
I thought when I quit in 2010 that I would struggle with that morning cup of coffee cigarette. And I really don't even give it another thought anymore. I mean, and that was, I smoked for 42 years.
Oh, wow.
So to throw them down, and I tried everything known to man, you know, every smoking thing and, you know, the patches. I smoked wearing patches. I mean, that's how bad it was. And I just threw them down one day. You know, I just said, I'm not even enjoying this, and that's it. And I never went back to them. I really thought I would struggle being around somebody else who was having one, but it kind of grosses me out now. I want to.
I hear that
away,
from a lot of people, even just the smell of a cigarette.
Yeah, it just kind of turns me off. So I never even really think about going back and having one or smoking one. Or
now, I'm not going to kid you. I do smoke the occasional cigar. Matter of fact, tonight my buddy called me up. He's like, "Oh, it's like warm. Sit up back. Want to have a cigar and a beer?" It's like, no, I got to go do this radio show.
On health and wellness, no less.
No, I said, no, I got to do my, you know, my monthly radio show. And, you know, so like, but if this was last night, I would have been there. Matter of fact, I did have a cigar last night.
You know what?
I'm honored. Thank you. You gave up the cigar for our show. For thank you guys. Thank you.
I enjoy a cigar occasionally. If I go out to play golf, you know, it's not so much that I'm smoking on it, then it's a nervous habit to play with. Well,
no, I'll smoke a cigar when I play golf, or I'll smoke a cigar on a night like tonight if we get a warm night in the wintertime. Summertime, every Friday, I smoke a cigar. Yeah. I'm not going to kid you. I sit out back and I'll have a beer and a cigar after dinner.
But you know what?
On Fridays.
If that's what's relaxing to you, mm-hmm. I don't see anything wrong.
And you don't inhale them. I mean, you run risks of you know, mouth cancer or whatever, but you know, there's a lot of people would be very happy if I couldn't open my mouth. So I look at it as a public service.
I don't know there would be a lot of people, Danny.
No, not at all.
I think that would be a small.
Oh, obviously you haven't talked to my ex-wife.
Well, there's such a thing as selective hearing, you know.
Yeah, that too.
Okay.
But we only got a few minutes left. If you want to give us a call, please do. 609-241-7103. And we'll be more than happy to engage you in conversation for several minutes.
Yeah, it would be.
So what do you have? Now, you have to understand, when I first listened to this
DVD
the first time, I teased you about it.
Yes, you did.
Because you have a very...
Oh, no.
You have a very nice voice, you know? And I was done with this, and I didn't know whether to fall asleep or have a cigarette.
You know? That's what he texts me.
Because Marianne has a very sexy voice. When you listen to this DVD, it's very relaxing.
It's soothing. She has a soothing
very
voice.
Very soothing, yes. And I'm like, Mare!
It's like Beth in the show before you. She has a very calm, soothing voice when she talks. Unlike you and I.
No, not like us. You know, and so you also sing, and you've done a song with Grammy-winning producer Tony Camillo.
Yes.
Who produced Midnight Train to Georgia, right?
Correct.
For Gladys Knight.
Yes.
And that's a song about...
helping others.
There you go. Where can we find it?
Well, we...
Can we find it? Is it out yet? What are we doing?
Yeah, it you could find it on my website and all. And okay. Hopefully it will be up on iTunes soon. But... and believe it or not, again, Rich Talanda was the producer and arranger of that also.
And we're actually going to end the show.
And now he's gone.
He'll be back.
Rich, when you get to the Dalai Lama, ask him if he's got that $10 he owes me.
This is like, where's Waldo?
It is.
The Dalai Lama.
Where's Shalenda?
Where's Shalenda?
They'll send him back.
The Dalai Lama?
The Dalai Lama.
Bring me a pastrami then, Rich.
I'm being like really funny. Yes. They'll send him back.
Okay.
Yes, the Dalai Lama.
Think so?
Yeah, I think so.
If it's not done properly?
Well, you know, some people could be picky eaters.
That's what we need to do.
What?
We need to open a Chinese restaurant called the Dalai Lama.
There we go. Your food will be there in 20 minutes.
Did you ever...
I'm sorry. Just, you went there.
Did you ever notice Chinese food when you call a Chinese restaurant? Whether you order like just a pint of pork fried rice or the entire left side of the menu, mm-hmm. It's 10 minutes.
Always.
It's always 10 minutes. No matter what we order from the Chinese restaurant, 10 minutes.
Yeah, and then you get there and it's usually ready, which scares me.
Wow.
The Chinese restaurant we go to, she hears our voice and starts reciting our order before you can tell her. I'm like, no sushi this time.
I only go to Chinese restaurants where I can actually watch them cook the food. And I'll explain at another date.
Oh, I'm sure there's a story here somewhere.
Oh, there's several stories. But, yeah. I hear the bell tolling.
I do, too.
The bell tolls.
Is that time for us to wrap it up there, 9 o'clock? It is.
Time flies, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
Time flies when you're having rum. I mean, fun.
Fun.
Well, I want to thank everybody for tuning in
tonight.
Thank you for bearing with Marianne and I on our Facebook Live.
Neither one of us could get the phone number.
She didn't have her phone out.
But no wonder nobody called.
Well, we said it. We probably should have said another 30 times, huh?
Well, I think we did here, too. And I also posted the correct number on my Facebook pages. So.
Yeah, me too.
And I put it out this morning as well.
Beautiful. So we will be back next
month. And the ringer was on, right?
Yes.
Oh, it was on. Just checking.
Two calls in the last show, so it did work.
We will be back again next month on the fourth Wednesday, or the last Wednesday. The last Wednesday of every month. We will be here on COARadio.com, myself and Marianne Costello, bringing you health and wellness discussions and relating some more personal stories and experiences. And next month, we'll probably have a guest in studio.
Yeah, we will have a guest.
This month, with everything that was going on, we really didn't get a chance to do that. But I've got a couple options.
So do I.
Good.
So we're good.
There you go.
We'll collaborate our efforts.
We have guests, Art.
You have the whole month to work on this.
Yes, we'll work together.
We had to do it like the old What's My Line? Remember the mystery guest?
What's My Line?
Right?
Yes.
Or This is Your Life. Remember that? We're going to be bringing out like Art's relatives.
There you go.
Say hi to Art. I tried to get Charlene to stop by tonight, but she...
board meeting tonight.
That's what she said. She had a board meeting. She said, but she might be able to catch the last half hour or so. But obviously, she has misled me.
She can listen to it on demand.
Yeah.
That's true.
That's right. On COA Radio.
COARadio.com.
All right, Mary.
Thank you.
What do you think?
I think it's time to wrap it up. And well, it was an honor again being with
you. It's always a pleasure and an honor to hang out with you. And
also, Art, thank you so much for all that you do for this show and for everything you do behind the scenes. And now, being on as a guest, too, as well.
Being on as a guest as well.
You do it all. A man of all.
You're a man, Art.
Yes.
I keep hearing that. I don't know.
Now, can you get pizza delivered?
I can. Manio's is right across the street.
Well, we'll see you next month for another show.
We will be back next month. They can hear this on demand from...
They can hear this on demand, COARadio.com.
All month until our next show.
And if they have show ideas, they can send them to Marianne@neozoe.com, and we will get your show ideas on as well.
And all those are on our show page on COARadio.com.
Thank you.
Beautiful. Thank you for listening. Good night.
Good night. Bye-bye. Regardless of my queries, it never became clear. Then one day I realized the answer was with me. I needed to get organized so that I could see. The reasons lay within my heart, they've always been right there. There is no hidden mystery, you just need to be aware. My gift is helping others. So I open up my heart to see what it reveals. Helping others is my cause. Down.
That is what I'm here to do. That's what I'm all about. Souls, mending broken hearts, lifting human spirits. I've done that from the start. I'm truly feeling okay, knowing I'm secure, and knowing that I'm certain my feelings will endure. Do what I'm all about.